You are now watching On Point, a news and public affairs show from California State University, Northridge.
Hello and welcome to On Point. I'm Rocky Walker. Last year, there were multiple groups pushing to unionize in a wide array of industries here in California. University of California academic workers went on strike for about 6 weeks, making history as the largest higher education strike in the U.S. 48,000 teaching assistants, researchers, tutors, and grad student instructors band together to disrupt the nine-campus system. And a much smaller group of workers made people take notice as well. Exotic dancers who are employed at Star Garden Topless Bar in North Hollywood went on a 9-month strike demanding better security and working conditions. They have since voted to unionize but are awaiting court hearings after Star Garden owners challenged the votes. Furthermore, Starbucks, the company where millions get their coffee every day, saw some of their individual stores unionize. That is the story we'll lead off with first tonight. But beforehand, let's discuss why unionization has been a battle in this country for decades. So, people might wonder what some of the benefits are to being part of a union. The U.S. Department of Labor says unions improve wages and working conditions for everyone, even non-union employees. Our reporter Jesse Barrientos spoke with Nelson Lichtenstein, a history professor from the University of Santa Barbara.
Lichtenstein directs the Center for the Study of Work, Labor, and Democracy sections. He explained how capitalism and unions go hand-to-hand together.
The wages tend to be reduced or at the minimum, whatever the capitalists can get away with. Capitalists have an interest in lower wages and more work, and workers have an interest in higher wages and less work. And so there's a kind of inevitable conflict there, just the nature of capitalism.
He also says how the Wagner Act began labor relations in the United States.
From 1935, the Wagner Act, named after Robert Wagner, a senator from New York State, which provides this, you know, when you hear things like National Labor Relations Board elections and unfair labor practices or a strike, this all stems from this law. We're now almost 90 years old.
Unions have changed throughout the years. He explains why they are different from back then.
If you walk into Starbucks, you can see, look at the baristas, and you can see many are women, many are different races. I mean, they represent the nature, the you know, what young people look like today. It's not like the old days of white male, coal miners or something.
So it seems like a no-brainer. Every industry should have unions, right? Well, there are plenty of arguments from both sides, and we're here today to get into the issue in more detail. So please welcome our first guest, Brian Cardenas. Brian has been a faithful member of the sensational coffee franchise Starbucks for the past 3 years. Even though the beloved coffee house has a faithful clientele, some locations are still not unionized. Brian happens to work at one of the non-unionized locations and is here to share why he thinks all Starbucks locations should have a proper workers' union. Brian, it's great to have you here. Have you spoken to any of your coworkers about unionizing?
I have not.
What is it that keeps you away from wanting to push that?
Honestly, I haven't put too much thought into it. But I do feel like there is something that has to be done about it.
Yeah, and have you seen, because you're in Palmdale, the unionized Starbucks are not too far from you.
Right.
Have you seen a change in work environment or a difference between their workplace and your workplace being the same location, same franchise, but different mm-hmm. locations?
I absolutely think that they are completely different. Environmental-wise, I do feel like some stores do give more than other stores. They do help more. And some stores also do get more hours because of the income they get.
Definitely. And so if you were to unionize, what is it you would want to achieve by doing that?
I really think that this company that makes a lot of money, I feel like they could do better by helping their employees get more hours. So because at the end of the day, like, a lot of workers don't get the hours that they need, livable hours. And I would want to change that.
Yeah. So do you feel like the company and the management at your location would be open to you unionizing and your coworkers banding together?
I absolutely think that she would not be happy over that.
Really? Why do you think that?
I feel like she would feel like I'm basically betraying her as a manager. And I do feel like it would be great if she can help us out, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like my partners would be happy to do that.
Definitely. And, you know, a lot of locations get fear of retaliation, you know, even though it is not legal to retaliate against unionizing employees. Right. It is very common.
Right.
Do you feel that retaliation would happen in your instance?
I believe so, for sure.
Definitely. And so when it comes to the changes that you would want to enact, are there anything in particular outside of more hours, you know, better working conditions, better scheduling, you know?
Right. I do feel like we do get overworked because of all the stuff that we go through every day. Because how I tell my workers all the time, like, we're not just baristas. We do everything. We're teachers. We get yelled at all the time. We're everything, not just baristas.
Yeah, and you know, on top of the portion of, you know, hours and
right.
getting more shifts, do you feel like there would be more differences other than just hours that you would get from unionizing?
Most definitely, a lot of help and support from the company.
Definitely. And that's what a lot of workers are looking for when they unionize.
Right.
Thank you for your insight. And, you know, while Brian's Starbucks location is not unionized, many other locations across the country are. And last year, they made a statement. On Point's Jesse took a deeper dive into the strike that shook coffee cups nationwide.
At the beginning of 2022, there were over 15,000 Starbucks locations in the United States. Slightly over 3,000 were located in here in California, and 159 were in Los Angeles' backyard. On Red Cup Day in November 2022, more than 1,000 Starbucks employees at over 100 unionized Starbucks locations went on strike. It was the group's largest single-day strike. The union said Starbucks was refusing to negotiate contracts fairly, and Starbucks denied they had participated in unfair labor practices.
These workers are not afraid of this company. And if we're going to shut it down, we're going to shut it down for good. We don't need people like Starbucks doing business where they don't respect the workers' wills. The workers wanted to have a union. They want to have a voice, and they deserve it. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win.
Is it going to be you, or is it going to be a billion-dollar company that they stand up for?
No.
Democracy is on the line. Every corporation, now they need to come to the table, they need to get on that council, and they need to start talking about what dignity looks like at work.
We call the shots! We call the shots!
I'm here with David Green, president of SEIU 721. Over 95,000 workers are a part of Union 721, making it the largest public sector union in Southern California. This union represents people working in the public sector, from hospitals to the foster care system, sanitation, and park services, along with many more. As of December 22, Green has been named to join LA Mayor Karen Bass's transition advisory team. Green is intended to guide Bass on issues that impact public sector workers and the communities that are served throughout the city of Los Angeles. Green also believes in diversity, equity, and inclusion. He recently announced that he is stepping aside from his position as chair so that his fellow board member, Gina Sanchez, can fill the position. Thank you so much for being here, Mr. Green. I really appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Awesome. So, first question, you know, as president, at its core, what is a union and what does it serve to do for its members?
At the core, the union protects workers, protects their rights, protects their freedom, their justice. But unions are really a social justice organization to lift up workers' voices and give a voice to folks that have never really had a voice at the workplace and have felt disenfranchised.
Definitely. And, you know, with banding together, it's almost always a feeling of workers and employers and a separation. Mm-hmm. So what, when you're representing a group of workers, mm-hmm. what is the typical response that a business gives you when you're trying to be the representation that the workers want?
Well, it depends on the business, but usually anybody that's a responsible business owner or even a manager wants their employees to be happy and realizes that happy employees are productive employees. And that's what unions are all about, is giving workers a voice on the job, on the issues from health and safety to wages to benefits, just to make sure that their voice is being heard at the workplace.
Definitely. And you know, you're saying some of the benefits that comes with unionizing. What have you seen is the most driving factor when groups of workers decide to unionize?
You know, I think the pandemic changed the question you just asked. And I think that workers need to feel valued, and it's stopped being about just wages and benefits. It's about, you know, like I said, workplace safety. It's about contracts. It's about job security. Development, the ability to rise up and promote in their company or their organization. I think those are all part of the same equation.
Yeah. Are there ever times when you are representing a group of workers that you feel you aren't able to get everything that you're working for these groups of workers? And what is that like?
I think it's common. I think that anytime you're in a negotiation, you kind of start here and the other side starts here and you meet somewhere in the middle. Getting everything you want out of a negotiation is not really a negotiation. It's about finding the common ground and understanding there's operational needs on both sides of things and just meeting in the middle where you find a compromise that works for everybody involved. That's what negotiations are about.
Definitely. You know, so recently nurses in Iowa filed a mm-hmm. prohibited practice mm-hmm. complaint against the Board of Regents. And, you know, since the pandemic started, healthcare workers have been highly respected and valued, you know, because they're essential. Mm-hmm. Why do you think is the reasoning behind why they're still having to fight for their rights as workers, even being the most respected at the time?
Well, it's a great question, and I think I'm incredibly proud to represent nurses all throughout Southern California. And I think the pandemic and kind of what they've been through, they weren't watching the pandemic from a couch. They were on the front lines, providing services, saving lives every single day. And I think the pandemic really, put the fine point on the fact that we need to value our nurses, our public sector workers. They need to respect us, protect us, and pay us. That was what we said in negotiations. And really proud of the work that the nurses did, standing up and advocating and getting a really good contract.
Yeah. So about 50 years ago was almost the height of unionization, mm-hmm. Where workers that were unionized was at a rate of almost 35%. Yeah. You know, and within the past five decades, it's very much dwindled. Mm-hmm. To I want to say almost 10% now. Why do you think that is?
I think that the income inequality and the gap between rich and poor has widened. I think the decline of the middle class coincides with the decrease in union membership. That's the bad news. The good news is that unions have never been more popular. Unions are at their highest popularity, 75-80% popularity now, more popular than they've ever been. Workers are speaking up. Pandemic also taught us that people are not going to take poverty wages, that they're going to speak up at the workplaces. And it's incredibly inspiring to be around all that, to see the union movement, all this positive energy and the next generation of union activists speaking out on these issues.
Definitely. And, you know, I really appreciate all of your expertise on this. Oh, you know, while unionization works for most businesses, some businesses still try to push against from that. Our reporter Jesse visited a small business in Chatsworth whose owner doesn't see a point in unionization.
Thanks, Rocky. I was outside the AM House office, a small business, where I met with the owner.
Aaron James, the owner of AM House, a low and high voltage contractor business here in California and Arizona that installs security cameras, access control, and automations to various homes and businesses. James believes that being unionized will not help his business.
Being a small business owner in Southern California, I feel like there would be no benefit to us being unionized.
James believes his employees don't need to be union workers because he says he treats them well and follows California regulations.
You know, we're highly regulated. We're regulated by the state, the federal government. So that means we have to pay our employees a certain wage. We have to give them certain benefits, including things like 401ks. So based on that, there really is, we would never see the point of having a union for our employees because we're already regulated. We already take care of them.
He believes that unions allow workers to get all the benefits even if they don't meet company standards and don't put in the effort to get the work done.
Personally, I believe that unionization has led to complacency, lack of effort, and people being paid sometimes for work that you know, isn't done.
There's always two sides to the story on why workers want to unionize and why some owners believe that unions aren't beneficial overall to their businesses.
Reporting from Chatsworth, I'm Jesse Barrientos, CSUN On Point.
And we'll be back with more.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those barbecues you plan in detail for your family? Or your daughter's first costume party? It was out of this world. The same way you plan each detail for those moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make.
Yo, camping buddy. Okay, you guys ready?
Dude, I thought you were driving.
I thought you were driving.
Oh, I never said I was driving.
I definitely can't drive.
Okay. If you're high, just don't drive. It's illegal everywhere. If you feel different, you drive different.
STEM is everywhere. Like here, behind the scenes of The Walking Dead.
When we break down clothes, we tumble it with trisodium phosphate, rock salt, and dish detergent.
We stitched together images of our model and created a 3D set that can be walked through in a VR headset.
We're able to turn 12 walkers into 1,000 walker boards.
STEM can create new worlds on and off the screen. What will you make with STEM? Get inspired at shecanstem.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for watching CSUN On Point. We're a student public affairs show, and we cover topics that are important to the community and you. Today, we're speaking about unionization. So here we have our guest, Brian Cardenas, who wants his Starbucks location to unionize, and David Green, who is the president of Service Employees International Union. So David, for you first. With that piece, you heard Aaron James. He believes that unions lower worker productivity, and many other businesses believe that too. Where do you think this belief comes from?
Well, obviously, I disagree with this viewpoint. And, you know, I think it's a lack of education. I think it's a lack of information on these issues. I would also say that, you know, it's important that, you know, as a small business owner, just like a multi-million dollar business, you don't want to be a race to the bottom. You want to treat your employees well. You know, I said before, employees that are paid well, have good benefits, are more productive employees. And obviously, love to sit down and talk with them and give them my point of view. I guess that's what we're doing now, so.
Definitely. And Brian, you know, with the recent fights for higher wages and more workers' rights, many businesses have opted to automate their systems, you know, such as that recent McDonald's in Texas that is fully automatic, and even those little robot waiters that have your food inside at some restaurants. Do you feel like this threat of automation almost discourages workers from trying to gain more power in the workplace?
I honestly think that you know, in order for them to keep their employees happy, they should actually listen to what, you know, makes them happy.
Definitely. How do you feel about that threat of automation?
Well, I think it is a threat, and I agree exactly what you said, that to listen to the employees, to listen to what automation is going to be a threat, bunch of different industries. It's important to listen to the employees and kind of figure out what they need to do, and there needs to be customer service in a lot of these human-related fields.
Definitely.
Like Starbucks.
Like Starbucks. Yeah. So there's the idea of, if it's not broke, why fix it? Mm-hmm. And that's how many businesses who have successful businesses justify not wanting to unionize. How do you think businesses that run smoothly and with content employees can still benefit from a union?
Well, I think having open communication with these employees, I think if you asked any of these multi-million dollar businesses, they could always do better, right? You can treat employees well and also improve your bottom line. And that's part of what unionization and equality is all about. You make money, be a successful business, but you don't have to do it off the backs of your employees.
So what are some of the challenges you face when negotiating contracts for workers that you're representing?
You know, I think in the climate we're in with inflation, and the gap with wages and inflation, is just making sure that the salaries that we negotiate keep up with inflation. It's expensive to live in Southern California. We want to create jobs with good benefits, a good salary, people be able to afford homes. So obviously salaries are a big deal. Also with benefits, it's more expensive for insurance benefits. So those are two of the struggles. But you know, we've been really successful, and we've been really lucky getting, this past year we got the largest raises in LA County history for SEIU 721. I'm really proud of that. And it's really powerful and inspiring to hear that even our employers, the county, the city, have come to the table in good faith, and we found a compromise that keeps the county and city running, but also empowers workers.
Definitely. And next question's for Brian, but I'd love for you to comment on it afterwards. Sure. You know, Brian, some people who are against unionization believe that union representatives don't always say exactly what the worker is wanting and what they're wanting to gain from the experience of unionizing. Do you fear for this idea of almost inadequate representation when it comes to unionizing?
I do. I honestly do. I do fear. I just feel like, you know, they don't really hear their workers. You know, it's more like they just do whatever they want to do, whatever they think is better for the company.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel about this fear of almost inadequate representation, no matter who's representing you?
And Brian brings up a bunch of really good points, but you have to ask yourself, the folks that are trying to silence voices like Brian, why are they trying to silence them? Why aren't they asking how to do things better? Why don't they care about their well-being? So I always kind of approach it from there. And as you said, you know, we're working with Starbucks workers, supporting them. They have difficult jobs. They have difficult jobs, and they deal with all sorts of difficult issues, and they need as much support as we can give them.
Definitely. And, you know, when representing these people, what do most businesses respond with? How do they treat the negotiation process?
Wait, once again, it depends on the business, but most of the time, in some businesses, like a Starbucks or these larger multi-million dollar corporations, they have specific training where they talk about the company side of thing, maybe not the union side of thing, or tell folks that they can't talk to union folks in the most extreme examples. And that's our role as organizers, is to let workers know we support them, and they shouldn't be afraid of retaliation, and we're going to support them, and we want them to lift up their voices, and we feel like that's the path to getting better wages and better working conditions.
Definitely. And, you know, for Brian, speaking of retaliation, have you seen workers try to get more empowered in the workforce, and have you seen them be retaliated against because of that?
Yes, I have.
What does that look like?
People are afraid to say because they don't feel heard. So, you know, a lot of people like to keep it on the low. So they just, yeah.
Yeah, how do you feel about the threat of retaliation?
So the threat of retaliation is real. And I think it's important, I would say to Brian, as well as his coworkers, that they do have rights. They have federal rights, state rights, local, county rights. Hopefully one day they'll have a union negotiation rights in their contract. And to not be afraid to speak out on these issues. It's I tell folks all the time, I get calls from people that feel like they've been retaliated against, And I always say, you have the choice to suffer in silence or speak out and use your voice. But when workers come together and use their voice, it's very powerful.
It really is. So I wanted to ask you, you know, many states actually have right-to-work laws in which somebody could join a company, not be forced to join the union, but they get a lot of the perks that come with that business being unionized. Mm-hmm. How does this affect the unions themselves and the workers who are in the unions?
Yep. It's a great question. It weakens the workforce. It weakens their rights. It weakens their voice. We call it the right to work states, the right to beg states, because the reality is that, you know, it's the old adage, you know, divided we stand, or united we stand, divided we get conquered. And that's what happens in a lot of those states. There's a lot of pressure. Sometimes it's politically, sometimes from the multi-million dollar corporations, but it's really to take away their voice. And so, but it's getting better. State after state is beginning to unionize. Like I said, unions have never been more popular than ever. Once you get folks the information on how to unionize, I mean, it's very rare that they don't take the choice to unionize. It's just making sure that the choices are in front of them.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Brian, many people kind of shy away from joining a union because of things like dues and the requirement to show up to these meetings. How do you feel about, you know, wanting to get the perks of unionizing, but understanding that there is a responsibility that comes with that?
Right. Like termination. I do feel like more people are afraid of getting terminated if they do end up joining. So it just, when it comes to like termination, they just lack on it. And it will most likely make them feel like they shouldn't, you know, join.
Yeah. So do you feel like the fear of termination makes the willingness to pay dues a lot more easy to accept?
Right.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And how do you feel about, you know, dues and union meetings that are mandatory, kind of pushing a lot of people away from wanting to join?
Well, I've been a victim of retaliation. And as I say all the time, I've got a loud voice, a big mouth, some people would say. Been a union member for 23 years. And as of today, I've never been written up, never get a bad performance review. I think by speaking up and using your voice and being unified, the retaliation decreases. Because there are a lot more of us as workers than there are of them. And people united are incredibly powerful when they use their voice.
Exactly. I love that. What's the phrase? People united can never be divided.
That's right.
Awesome. And, you know, I'd love to thank both of our guests here. Thank you so much for being with us.
I really appreciate
the insight you gave. You know, unionization is a constant issue. Just today, news broke that the Workers United Union is saying Tesla fired over 30 employees in Buffalo, New York, in an act of retaliation because they made their plans to unionize public. We hope you've learned a little from our guests and everyone we talked to about this complex topic. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate, you know, the real world view and the view of someone from the union, you know, being able to represent people, but also speak for them is great. I really appreciate it. And thank you. I'm Rocky Walker, and this is On Point, a public affairs show covering topics that are important to you.
You've been listening to On Point, CSUN's news and public affairs show, produced by CSUN journalism students. Listen to On Point each Sunday at 5:30 a.m. on KCSN. For archives of the program, visit csuntvnews.com.
Work hard and be nice to people.